This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Nationwide protests against the Trump administration happening. This demonstration in Raleigh, North Carolina. This protester in Washington.
What really pushed us to come to D.C. right now is the no due process for people like Kilmar Garcia. It just sets a really, really scary precedent if we can just send anybody we want overseas and not give them any due process.
An emergency Supreme Court ruling puts a temporary stop to the administration's deporting of Venezuelan migrants held in Texas under the Alien Enemies Act. It comes after Senator Chris Van Hollen met in El Salvador with a migrant deported to a prison there.
Saying that the president shouldn't be posting information on social media or rattling off information in press conferences. If he has evidence against him, present it in court.
ABC's Selena Wang. Russian attacks continue despite the Easter truce declared by President Putin, says Ukraine's president. This is ABC News. The New York Auto Show is scaled down this year, matching the mood of car makers, says ABC's Wayne Cabot.
The auto industry wondering if these shiny new vehicles will be dinged by the Trump administration's 25% industry tariff. Cox Automotive data show consumers were out in force last month, trying to scoop up available cars, trucks, and SUVs before price increases. Sales were up month over month, 29.6%. What happens next month, no dealer knows. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Just in time for Easter, a historic New York City church reopening just around the corner from the old building, more than 4 years after a devastating fire forced it to close.
We would never have asked for a fire, but we had one. And the blessing of the fire is it increased our tribe by hundreds of people.
Reverend Jackie Lewis, senior pastor of Middle Collegiate Church in Manhattan's East Village. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show, moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A nonprofit is working to help the farmers who lost federal grant money. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The Honor Farmer Contracts Act would order the United States Department of Agriculture to resume paying farmers from previously signed agreements. The Michael Fields Agriculture Institute is one of more than 350 organizations that have signed on to a letter of support to Congress. Ryan Martin, the executive director, says federal cuts have impacted both their network and their organization.
There's also a lot of legal and operational chaos. So we're sort of stuck navigating these legal gray zones around signed contracts. My part-time job right now, unfortunately, has been canceling contracts and laying off contractors, and we've had to lay off several staff.
The act would require the USDA to unfreeze all signed agreements and contracts, make past due payments quickly, and prohibit the agency from canceling contracts unless there is a breach of contract. The sudden cuts blindsided farmers across the country. Hundreds of farmers in the Upper Midwest region participate in USDA-funded programs that pay farmers for serving their communities. Clint Bland, owner of Bland Family Farm and Farms of Illinois.
This funding has far more impacts than just paying one farmer. All this food was going out throughout the communities that we were serving to disadvantaged folks who needs food. And then it was also helping the business, and everything was just kind of flowing around. It kept the money right here and helped out the community.
Bland says the uncertainty has forced him to make operational changes, such as staff cuts and modifications to planting strategies to mitigate potential losses. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, some showers possible in the afternoon and evening, high mid-50s. Still some rain around Monday morning. Clearing out for Monday afternoon, high again mid-50s. It's 55 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Laura Bird is back. The author and tireless bookstore promoter helps mark Independent Bookstore Day with ways you can support a local business.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up this hour, we'll go to a segment from Matt and Air on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg welcomed on Deborah Cronmiller, the Executive Director for the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin. She joins the show to talk about the SAVE Act, a voting bill that would make it significantly harder for some in this country to cast a ballot. It was passed last week in the House, and although it still awaits a vote in the Senate, the bill is already having an impact.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball action tonight. Tigers at the Brewers. The broadcast starts at 6:05. You can listen to the game on terrestrial radio, on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and in Hayward, WBZH. The crew hosting the Tigers tonight. The game starts at 6:05. We are joined by Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters. Deb, we've had a lot of listeners coming in with questions for you, so it's going to be a busy couple of segments. Good morning, and thanks for making time for us. How are you?
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me. SAVE Act is a big deal, let's talk.
It really is. So the SAVE Act passed in the House last week. This is something that was in Project 2025. In case people are not familiar, because yes, they are instituting things in under the Trump administration that were in Project 2025. But one of the first questions we got was from a listener I will call Jane, for example, so that we don't have to use her name. So here is her question, Deb. If a woman has a valid passport with both her maiden and married names on it, is this enough documentation to prove I am who I am? So say, for example, my name is Jane Ann Matner Clooney. Just as an example. Jane Ann Matner Clooney, but my birth certificate says Jane Ann Matner. Would that be enough for me to bring to my polling place, and would they accept that?
Short answer, yes. The SAVE Act, as it passed the House, indicates that there are three sets of documents that will enable you to prove citizenship. One of them is a passport. So as long as you are holding a passport, you will be able to vote. The other two are your naturalization papers, if you are naturalized, and passport and birth certificate.
Okay.
Got to have a birth certificate. So, but keep in mind that though that sounds on its surface, okay, you know, we all had a birth certificate, we most of us maybe have a passport. You know, if we're naturalized, we know where our naturalization papers are. Should be a no-brainer. Tribal IDs will no longer count. Tribal IDs do not state your birthplace. So now a member of a tribe in the state of Wisconsin and across the nation will have to subsequently prove where they were born. And, you know, that may or may not be easy for folks. Somebody who has lost their passport or has lost their birth certificate, maybe through a natural disaster. Maybe their parent had it and never gave it to them. They just don't have their birth certificate. You know, so we think about the exceptions to the rules. And the SAVE Act, beyond just having these three very limiting pieces of citizenship proof, it takes away other intrinsic voting rights. For instance, in Wisconsin, we can register to vote online. The SAVE Act specifically will disallow that, so there's no more online registration. You have to present in person to your clerk one of those three pieces of documentation to be able to ensure that you can register to vote. Every time you move, you will have to do that. So now let's suppose you live in a rural Wisconsin county. Your clerk doesn't maintain regular office hours because she works very part-time and works out of her kitchen. How are you going to, as a senior perhaps, moving from senior independent living to senior assisted living to senior nursing living? Each of those moves, your address changes. Each of those moves, now you will be compelled to go to your clerk's office and show your new address and your proof of citizenship.
And that would hold, Deb, even if I'm going to be staying within the same county. Just with the change of address, that is going to be enough. That you change address, doesn't matter if you move, if you're staying in the same county, you're staying in the same city. If your address changes, you have to show up in person to re-register again.
Whereas right now, say I live downtown in the city of Madison and I'm in a high-rise apartment building and I'm on the second floor, something opens up on the 10th floor and I want it, so I move up there. Right now, I just have to inform the clerk that I moved to a new unit number at the same address. In the future, I would have to go to the clerk's office to show that I have moved to this new address and again present one of those three pieces of citizenship proof.
Well, and the other thing too that I'm hearing from you, Deb, is, you know, a lot of people don't have their birth certificate, the one with the raised stamp on that, and people don't have passports. Granted, the argument might be, well, let's just get your it's your birth certificate. You can go get one. That costs money. That means in order to vote, you have to pay for a document. If you want a passport, that's even more expensive. That is, and it's a time-consuming process because you have to go apply, get a picture, send it in, wait, get it, and then you spent money on this in order to vote. That has been said before. We'll say it's a poll tax.
It's quite exclusionary. There's no questions about that. My friend Jay Heck over at Common Cause Wisconsin yesterday put out a piece that I found to be very interesting. He did some research here in the state of Wisconsin. And according to his numbers, 3,269,361 individuals in Wisconsin have no passport.
Yep. Say the number again, please.
3,269,361 individuals living in Wisconsin do not have a passport. So all of those now will be forced either to get a passport or to make sure they have a copy of their birth certificate and the other ID that would be necessary to accompany that birth certificate. So this is in addition, in Wisconsin, our ID laws and proof of residency requirements, they don't go away. This is on top of. Mm. And so it will be more onerous for, you know, half of the state's population, essentially, to maintain their eligibility to vote. He also indicated that there are 1 million 316,546 married women in the state of Wisconsin. And those women, without a passport, without access to a birth certificate, without access to naturalization papers if they're naturalized, would not be easily registered to vote. They're going to have to go through the hoop of getting a subsequent piece of citizenship proof to make sure that they can register. Now, keep in mind, I don't want to like be running with my hair on fire here. If you're currently registered and you do not move, you're good to go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there are so many people who are transient. You know, think of our military families. Think of, you know, older people who are moving, you know, at their aging and they're moving from one kind of facility to another kind of facility. Think of young people. You know, you live maybe in two different kind of campus housing units. Then you move to your first apartment. You live there a year or two. Then you move to a second place. Maybe you buy a house in a couple of years. At each of those junctures, you'll be forced to go into your clerk's office and present your proof of citizenship. And this is just, you know, and in my mind, it's a means, a way to prevent eligible voters from easily accessing their voice, their vote by, you know, being an eligible and registered voter.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, Deb Cronmiller is here from the Wisconsin League of Women Voters, and we are talking about the SAVE Act that passed in the House last week. That will still have to move on to the Senate and get approval in the Senate, correct, Deb?
Absolutely. Yes. And the League of Women Voters, if you go to our website and many other voting rights advocates' websites, you will find information on how to contact, in Wisconsin, our two senators, Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson, and let them know that we do not think it's a good idea for this to be passed by the Senate. And the Senate has the opportunity to stop this piece of legislation from becoming law. And but the Senate has to hear from members in Wisconsin, yes, members in every state of the union, that these additional requirements, this attempt to suppress the vote, this is not what Americans want. We want the access to the ballot.
And the unfortunate truth for some is that there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud. None. Wisconsin taxpayers spent over $2 million that we paid to Michael Gableman to hunt down all that fraud after the 2020 election. And what did he find? Oh, wait, zippo. None. Zero. There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Well, and that was the thing that I wanted to mention, too, is that while this is a nonpartisan discussion, in my opinion, because of its effect, this will affect people who voted for Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, Jill Stein, Bernie Sanders. It'll affect so many people. We are going to see individuals at the polls in the coming years scratching their head, confused, not knowing what, because like we've said before, not everybody has every time, every minute in the hour to listen to us and talk about these things. So it's important to be informed right now. And that important point to say is if you're registered and you voted, you're good right now. That's good to know.
We're going to continue our conversation with Deb Cronmiller on the other side. We have another listener question for you as well, Deb and Jack. I see you on the line. Hang on. We'll take you when we return. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Anne from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to a segment from the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie welcomed on Representative Karen DeSanto, who shares her journey from being a circus clown to being a political leader. She also highlights her tenure as executive director of the Boys and Girls Club and its impact on her legislative work.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This half hour, we're talking with Wisconsin Representative Karen DeSanto. She represents Assembly District 40 out of Baraboo. We've been talking about education, Representative, and I am apoplectic would be a word. That we have somehow decided to vilify teachers and believe Robin Voss's lies. Like, I don't get it. He gave an interview about, I don't know, 2 months ago or so, where he said, we've made a generational investment in public schools. No, you didn't. You, Robin Voss, and Scott Walker architected the most massive defunding of public education in Wisconsin's modern history. It's just on both scale and percentage wise. And these improvements that Tony Evers, Governor Evers, has been able to make in partnership with Democrats in the Assembly have been simply to staunch the bleed. Now it's going to be even more complicated if Trump is successful in dismantling the Department of Education. It's going to be even more complicated for schools to get the funding they need to support students that voucher schools can turn away and discriminate against, which includes students with individualized education plans. Right. Do you know someone who is on the spectrum, a kid that has special needs? Guess what? They don't have to be accepted to voucher schools. If we voucherize the whole damn thing, who's taking your child or the kid you love or mentor or see in church or in the grocery store? Who's taking care of that kid? Thank you for bringing this up, Karen, because I don't get it. I do not understand.
I can see it. Right. None of us do. And I love that you are right on the money. There are so many things that I just think the people do not understand what is truly happening. They don't understand that our public schools physically write a check out of their general fund to these private schools to support these kids, that these private education systems don't have the same standards and criteria that our public schools are required to follow. And you're right, especially our kids with individualized learning programs, right? So anybody, sure, they can go to any school they want. They send them that check. And then you know what happens? They don't have a service because they are not required to have a speech pathologist.
Correct.
Or an occupational therapist or a reading specialist.
Nor do they have to take the same testing standards or do the same reporting or come up with a reading and literacy plan for kids that are behind. And so, you know, like you got Doge running around with a bunch of post-pubescent boys that know nothing about government, searching high and low for claimed fraud, waste, and abuse. I got an idea for them. I'll tell you where there's a bunch of leakage of tax dollars that are getting misspent with no accountability and no auditing. Voucher schools. There are no standards. There are very low fiscal accountability. There's no nationalized system of auditing these things. You want to be concerned about ineffective government programs? Look at voucher and charter right programs.
Follow the money. Follow the money. So here's what I've heard from my constituents that have been, it's hard to have a young person or a child in your family that needs extra help, right? It's hard. It is difficult on parents, especially single parent families. So when these schools come around, they said, hey, you know what? Your son could do a real good job over here at my school. Come over there. Of course, parents are like, thank you. We need that support. We need that respite, right? Then what happens is little Johnny goes over to that school and they don't have the supports that he needs to thrive and to be successful. So they say, oh, mom, I'm so sorry, but Johnny isn't doing well here. He's probably going to have to go back to his other school. But they keep the money.
Right.
So all the money for that child stays with that school. So Johnny goes back to public education, and now they have to, by law, give him the supports that he needs. So now we're running a deficit, and this is what I'm saying. Now we run deficits. All our schools are experiencing that exact scenario.
And it's worse. It's harder in rural school districts.
Absolutely.
Too. It's the bigger your school district. So like Milwaukee, they at least have scale. They can absorb some of that. But you move into those more rural districts, and it's a real hard situation for folks. We got a couple of our loyal listeners. Let's take one of their comments or calls. We've got Ruth from Eau Claire, a new-ish caller. Hello, Ruth. Please say hello to Representative DeSanto. What is your comment or question this afternoon?
Hello, it's both of you, and I appreciate and the guest. And my daughter says me too, someone who went through special education and really benefited from it. And I certainly want other young parents to benefit from that. I am calling, though, that I'm looking for another voice. I'm looking for, like, the hope, the direction, embracing what we have. I know there's a lot to react to right now, but it's so reactionary, and I'm just...
Oh, wait. I'm so sorry, Ruth, we lost you. Let me give you some hope. Karen DeSanto is now in the Wisconsin Assembly. We have fairer maps. We are going to continue to have fairer maps in the state of Wisconsin because Susan Crawford was just elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We have a chance coming up in just a couple years to replace an ideologue on our Supreme Court with someone who will follow the law, that understands we all deserve equal protection under the law. Every day is an opportunity for us to speak up, not just to react, but to advocate for the positive change that we need to see. We have a governor who cares deeply about these issues, who's trying to invest not just more in education, but more in children's mental health. Mm-hmm. Representative DeSanto, with our last minute, what do you say to Ruth out there to give her some hope about moving forward?
Absolutely. And Ruth, thank you. Don't lose hope. All the things Maggie just mentioned are right on fire. We do have a pathway. And one of the first bits of legislation that your Assembly Democrats put forward is the Lowering Cost, Improving Lives package. That includes creating food for all kids, lunches. And I mean, if you pare it down, it's just simple, basic facts, simple, basic needs. Food for all kids, boom, makes a better school day. Expansion of the homestead tax credit, great for families, lower income families, and last, lowering prescription costs for all families so you can get the prescriptions that you need. But that is what our Democrats are doing for our state.
Thank you so much, Representative Karen DeSanto. We're going to take Maryland Senator's comments about Abrego Garcia next.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Nationwide protests against the Trump administration happening.
This demonstration in Raleigh, North Carolina. This protester in Washington.
What really pushed us to come to D.C. right now is the no due process for people like Kilmar Garcia. It just sets a really, really scary precedent if we can just send anybody we want overseas and not give them any due process.
An emergency Supreme Court ruling puts a temporary stop to the administration's deporting of Venezuelan migrants held in Texas under the Alien Enemies Act. It comes after Senator Chris Van Hollen met in El Salvador with a migrant deported to a prison there.
Saying that the president shouldn't be posting information on social media or rattling off information in press conferences. If he has evidence against him, present it in court.
ABC's Selena Wang. Russian attacks continue despite the Easter truce declared by President Putin, says Ukraine's president. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks lose to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing game one of their playoff series to the Pacers in Indiana, 117-98. Although Giannis Antetokounmpo led the Bucks with 36 points, the Pacers did a good job from being a playmaker and getting assists. And he didn't get much help from his teammates. Brook Lopez, Kyle Kuzma had a combined 4 points at the half. Damian Lillard talking for the first time after suffering that blood clot.
A little bit scary. You know, I think I've had a couple surgeries in my career. You know, I've had things that I've had to deal with, you know, ankle or knee, Achilles, calf, whatever it might be. You know, but those are all things that you go to rehab, you know, you deal with it like that, you know, like an athlete would. So, you know, I'm thinking that's what I was going into. And then you see you have a blood clot, and obviously that's a thing that can affect your life. You know, I'm just happy to be on the other side of it.
Baseball, the Brewers and the A's, game two of their 3-game series tonight at American Family Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, some showers possible in the afternoon and evening, high mid-50s. Still some rain around Monday morning. Clearing out for Monday afternoon, high again mid-50s. Right now it's 53.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and I'm dedicating this episode to you, the listeners. Your voices matter, and I want to hear how significantly we influence your lives.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We go now to a segment from the Todd Ulba Show, where this week he welcomed on State Senator Sarah Kieski to give us an update on what she's accomplished in her first 3 months in office. Thus far, she's been fighting to proactively ban hedge funds from buying up houses and jacking up the prices, a situation already occurring in Milwaukee.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, April 17th, 2025. Zomer's on the board. Many thanks to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich for being our guest last half hour. Cannot wait to get up there next Friday for the draft. And very excited for our next guest as well from a part of the state that I'm familiar with, South Central and Southwest Wisconsin. She is the new freshman state senator for that area. We welcome her back to the program. Sarah Kieski joining us from her office here in Madison via StreamYard. Senator Kieski, thanks for coming back. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's great to catch up with you once again. You've been in office now for a little while, and I understand that you've...
Three whole months.
and look at this, only 3 months onto the job, and you're doing something that seems foreign, at least to some elected officials these days, holding office hours and going out and actually meeting folks. I understand you've been on the road around your district a lot this week. Tell folks a little bit about that and what you're hearing from your constituents in South Central and Southwest Wisconsin.
Sure. So I've had 5 listening sessions, and that's been in April and a bit in March. So I'll talk about that a little bit. And then this week, I've been in Reedsburg and Richland Center and Plain and Poinette, Portage, and I'm going to be in Lodi the 28th of this month.
28th,
so
right.
A Monday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Monday. Just trying to really listen to the voters, our constituents, about their concerns. This week, I've been in Adams Friendship. I was doing a school reality day. I helped them, volunteered at that, which was really like an experiential thing, teaching them financial literacy. So that was really fun.
Wow.
I was in Sauk Prairie, their school district yesterday. They were doing, teaching the kids about manufacturing and then trying to show them all the different nuances to manufacturing, not just being on the assembly line, but also having people that are doing the inspections, people that are doing the accounting, people that are doing the marketing, and just showing like kind of the vast array of options for that. So just really fun things. I've also been to Common Threads today, which is providing services for constituents that have neurodivergence. I was at Pathways yesterday in Baraboo learning about their homeless shelter. So just really like finding out all these beautiful things that are happening in the district, and just so proud of the people that are doing all these programs. So it's been really wonderful to be able to be out there.
Well, I admire you that taking the time to go out there and actually hold real office hours and to meet with your constituents. There are so many, as we know, great stories about what makes Wisconsin great. What are the concerns that you're hearing as you just, you know, have lunch on main streets or whatnot, or you're talking with people at office hours? What are the top one or two concerns right now you're hearing from people in Wisconsin?
Yeah, prices and uncertainty. I would say those are the two things. Uncertainty has been really a really major like cloud over everything. People are seeking just some clarity about, do you know what's going to be happening at the federal level so that we can understand what's going to be happening to us here in our backyards? Do you know what's happening with Medicaid? Do you know anything about Social Security? I hear that they're closing the Department of Education. How's that going to affect our schools? Do you know Meals on Wheels for ADRC, if they're going to do something with the funding from the national level? So everybody's really just kind of pins on needles, honestly, just kind of, I don't know how my life is going to change. And I'm really concerned because it sounds like everything is kind of maybe touched in some way. And then the prices, you know, I'm concerned about prices of childcare and housing and food, and then seeing tariffs be talked about in the news and just going, well, how's that going to affect me? And, you know, I hear, you know, maybe the farmers aren't going to be able to sell some of their product, and how will that affect the prices in the grocery store? And so really people are understanding that there's a big web here and there's impact on really everyone in different ways, but no one's probably going to be unaffected. And people are trying to figure out, well, how do I plan for that? And the reality is, much of the time, I have to say, say, I don't know yet. Most people don't know. And everybody I ask that's above me and has a higher pay grade and more information, you know, from everybody from Mark Pocan to Tammy Baldwin, when I meet with them, I ask them what they know. And honestly, they're doing their best to advocate for their constituents too, but there's a lot of just unknown.
We are talking to State Senator Sarah Kieske, who represents the 14th District in the Wisconsin State Senate in South Central and Southwest Wisconsin. Senator Kieske, I know one of the things that you have been trying to provide some relief or maybe protection is a better word, is this new bill in the State Senate and State Assembly, I guess as a Senate bill, dealing with prohibiting hedge funds from acquiring single-family homes in the state. That sounds complicated to me, but I think at the end of the day, one of the things that we hear about, I know you have as you travel around the district, people are just very concerned about the cost of housing, whether it's how much we're paying for rent, how much, you know, we're able to, younger people, can they ever afford to buy a home? Yeah. And there's something that people don't know. I think they're making that uncertainty worse, and you're offering a piece of legislation to address that. Tell us about it, please.
Sure. So housing is a big concern, and prices of housing and or rentals has been a major issue that I've heard about. I also have 6 kids, and they're ultimately hopefully going to be able to be homeowners someday, because we know that's how we build wealth, or at least a way. And right now, the possibilities of that are growing more and more limited. So hedge funds, for most people probably know, but I'll just share. Hedge funds are basically organizations that pool together really wealthy people. So they have all this wealth pooled together, and then they can make major investments in things. And then the risk is kind of more limited. And so we're saying hedge funds, we're asking to prohibit them from buying single family homes in the state of Wisconsin. Now, this isn't widespread yet, but we're really trying to make sure that it doesn't become widespread. We're seeing it in Milwaukee area in particular. And what we're learning is that these hedge funds are oftentimes buying them and then either turning them into rentals, which then, you know, helps them determine, or they can determine then rental prices, which oftentimes then go up, or they sit on them. So they're not usable for families to buy. They sit on them until the housing market changes, and then they can, you know, make a income, a profit on it, and or turning them into like Airbnbs. And so really then taking away the opportunity for people to become homeowners, and again, help with our families build their economic wealth and have the stabilization of economies in the local area. Because if we have families there long term, that is a stabilizing force for like schools, et cetera. And so really just trying to help make this opportunity more available versus some of these things that are helping to restrict it.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. I hadn't heard about it. That's interesting news about this happening, starting to happen in Milwaukee, because I've heard about it at a larger scale, places like Las Vegas or Phoenix, Arizona, or out in L.A. And again, to your point, for our listeners, we're not talking about a couple of neighbors that say, hey, let's buy one or two houses and have an Airbnb business. You're talking about multimillionaire, not billionaires, coming in and saying, we're going to buy up every house in the Dells that's available, and nobody's gonna be able to afford these things, and then we're gonna jack up the prices, and it really is destroying communities.
Yeah, I mean, if you recognize that they can come in, they don't even have to necessarily sight unseen, right? And right away they can offer higher than asking price. I mean, and so they have an unfair advantage, and it creates a bit of a monopolistic practice potentially. And so we're just trying to protect our communities. I have a lot of small communities in my district, and I want to just make sure that there's something like this so that it just can't become a big problem versus having to address it after the fact.
Yeah, and I think, again, this has, if you, we saw this. I mean, I was working in the state capitol for former state senator Dale Schultz when Walker was governor, and we saw this with up north in the mining areas and up in Mellon, where foreign country, the Chinese, other places were coming in and trying to buy huge amounts of swaths of farmland that it was never going to be farmed. And then they wanted to use this for development and jack up all the prices around there. So this is not foreign, pun intended, to Wisconsin. We've seen attempts like this before.
Right. And so there is now a ban for that happening as far as farmland with Chinese investors. And so it's just, again, it's just trying to make sure that we're doing things proactively to be mindful of the people that are in our state and trying to protect really middle class individuals rather than having those that are the wealthiest have all the benefits.
And to me, Senator, this seems like something, this bill seems like something that should be bipartisan. Because whatever side of the fence we are on politically, most of us say, look, we don't want people from, you know, hedge fund managers from L.A. or San Francisco to come into Wisconsin and buy up all of our housing. You know, I mean, yeah. This should be a Wisconsin thing, should it not?
Yeah. And I think it is, as far as when I've even talked about it to people in these listening sessions, when I've gone to places talking about it and or put it on social media and have put it out there. Generally, people are very honest about their feelings about things that I say or do, good and bad, right?
Right.
This one has been very popular across the board. So I was really excited about that. So when I presented it and had co-sponsorships, I was really excited to see bipartisanship of it because I just thought really... Maybe it's naive of me, right? But I'm eternally hopeful that it would be because it just makes good sense and it's common sense. It turns out we do have 30 co-signers on the bill, which is fantastic. I'm very proud of that. But only one of them is a Republican in the assembly. And so we're going to call it bipartisan. We're
going to
call
it nothing these days.
Exactly. So I'm calling it bipartisan. I'm really excited about it. I want us to really like push for it. It just got its Senate bill number, which is 208. Mm-hmm. And it's my first one to really as the lead. Yeah. And so I'm just really excited about it, really proud of it. And I'm really hopeful that we get it passed on the governor's desk.
Well, congratulations. I hope people will call up their elected officials across the state in both houses and urge support of SB 208, sponsored by Senator Kieski. Senator, about 2 minutes left here. Another bill that you're a co-sponsor of, which means a lot to me, is designating the Tom Deal Memorial Highway. Deal is, you tell folks, I got about 2 minutes left.
No, do him justice.
I knew the guy through politics, other places. And he was a guy that gave to both sides in terms of money because he loved the Dells and loved tourism. It was a job creator, took over kind of the Tommy Bartlett empire after kind of, you know, learning it at the knees of Tommy Bartlett. And he's just a great guy for tourism. And it was a part of what made Wisconsin great. He passed away this last year.
Yes. I never got the chance to meet him, which is a real unfortunate thing because it sounds like he was just a man of just goodness and innovation and I was privileged enough to meet his daughter, Jill. Mm-hmm. And so that was wonderful. And then I just went to the annual tourism for their dinner in Sun Prairie, and I got to meet his wife and some of the siblings and the grandchildren. And they really spoke so highly of him, and it was really lovely. And so I'm really proud to be co-signing on this. There's going to be a stretch of highway that is going to be in his name, and just so he is remembered well. And we just do a great act of making sure those that have served our community in different ways really are acknowledged and recognized.
To me Tom Deal is the kind of guy that got it because he was a big backer of Tommy Thompson, a former Republican governor. Mm-hmm. He was also a big backer of Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin because he didn't really care what side of the aisle you were on. Hey, if you were for putting money into roads to help people from Chicago and Minneapolis get to the Dells, if you were, he was a great conservationist as well and wanted the areas around the Dells to be preserved for in our state park system, whether it was Devil's Lake or whether it was just recreational areas for camping and hunting. Mm-hmm. He was all for it because he said it's good for the state. It's good for tourism. And so much of our people in Wisconsin rely on others coming in here for our income. And so I really admire you for again, sponsoring this bipartisan bill to honor the late, great Tom Deal. I appreciate that, Senator.
Yeah, well, no, it sounds like I should be enamored with having my name next to his. That's really lovely.
He was a great guy. He really was. Well, we appreciate your time here. Again, Senator Kieski is going to be in Lodi next, April 28th.
So, Yep. So it's a Monday. It's about a week and a half away.
All right.
Not this coming, but
following. Yeah. All right. One of our great state senators, elected officials, who is actually going out and meeting with the people. Senator Kieska, we appreciate you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye
our
now.
Pleasure. Come on back to discuss Republican politics. Why they're calling him Pontius Shimming. I'm not joking around. For Easter weekend, it's the Tom Bull Show on Civic Media.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Eagle 1490 AM.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Closing out this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear a bit from The Earl Ingram Show. In the final edition of their feature, In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, Earl's wife calls in and expresses her gratitude for Dr. Omar and his supplement recommendations.
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave, and it's me you need to share.
All right, welcome back to In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar the Pharmacist on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Dr. Omar is willing to take any questions or comments you may have. Dr. Omar, how can people get in touch with you?
People can always call at 262-429-9429 or go to wiltopiarx.com.
And Cardi, if people want to be able to now capture all of this great information that we've been able to gather with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, over the last year or so, how can they do that?
Well, Earl, they can always log into civicmedia.us, check out the podcast on that episode by clicking on the Earl Ingram Show, and also check out the YouTube page at Civic Media, click on Earl Ingram, and you'll be able to see every episode from day one until today.
Oh, that's great. That's great news. Let's go to Mark. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, first, a quick question, Earl. On Mondays, is Reggie Jackson your frequent guest?
Yes, he has been.
Okay. The comment I have in terms of health, I just wanted to recommend a book by Jane Roberts called The Way Toward Health. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Omar, when you talk about health, and I was talking to you earlier before we came on the air, and I was saying, you know, I mean, I've cut back a lot on meat, man. I used to be a carnivore, man. They just give me some meat, right? Meat. Give me meat. Meat on the plate's got to be meat, you know? And as I've gotten older, my body doesn't agree with meat as much as it once did. And so I was telling you about watching horses and rhinoceroses and elephants and the largest animals, land animals on earth, buffaloes, they don't eat meat. And so when we talk about muscle development, those animals have tremendous muscles and they don't eat meat. And so you are telling me the difference between their bodies and our bodies, and the difference, if you please.
Yeah. So the horse. Well, actually, yeah. It's weird that we see that animal kingdom has animals that have like awesome muscles, but they don't eat meat like the horses. But they have kind of digestive system adaptations. Well, they have this kind of, they can ferment in their colons very efficiently, extract the nutrients from the fibrous plant materials. And also they have continuous grazing activity. They graze for many hours daily and are naturally active, promoting consistent muscle engagement and development. There is also different muscle fiber composition. In us humans, when we go plant-based diet, the challenge is like there is incomplete amino acid profiles in many plant proteins, and it's hard for us to absorb these kind of proteins in the beans, in the seeds and the nuts. And that's why replacing with branched chain amino acids and taking protein shakes for plant-based diet people is important. Okay, so this need to be careful dietary planning, because not everyone can be vegetarian based on I want to be as strong as this athlete who is also vegetarian. You have to calculate it, make sure that you get your proteins, you get your vitamin B12, you have healthy gut, because unfortunately I see many vegetarian human beings live with us that eat many processed foods, thinking that this is healthy and it is not. So meat is not the enemy. Vegetarians is a good and great concept and great way of life. We just have to calculate it perfectly and be realistic. And that's why I love pharmacy, because it gives us the tools to look at the science and help empower people with lifestyle change in their medications and supplements to create and better health.
Well, Dr. Omar, as fate would have it, my better half is on the line. She doesn't call, but this is my wife, Allie. You have a question or comment for the doctor?
Of course, a comment. Thank you so much. And, Cardi, I love the look on your face when you're looking at that screen like Earl. Yes. Hi, Dr. Omar.
Hi, Allie. How are you doing?
And I'm limited, you. I already know. But your pills, your vitamin B, first of all, off the chain. I mean, it was so perfect. I had those little tremors, and you said vitamin B, and ever since, no problem. Your CoQ10, awesome. Your calcium, you know, okay, I'm old, so I needed everything. And you have it there at your pharmacy. And your knowledge is, wow. I'm just overwhelmed. I should have called you earlier. But thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Dr. Omar is not the end, because you and I will certainly continue to give the life-changing information and knowledge that you provide. I'll continue to tell people about Welltopia Pharmacy. I'll continue to make my treks back and forth to the pharmacy to see you. Until we meet again on the podcast. It's always been great, and it's not so long. It's not goodbye. It's a respite, but we'll be back together soon.
We'll be back. Thank you, Earl. I appreciate
Thank you as well.
Thank you, Allie.
That's Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. Love you, man. We'll talk soon. All right. Up next on the Earl Ingram Show, I'm going to give you a chance to get to know who I really am. Up next on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for matinee on air.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Find the perfect volunteer opportunities for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center today. Volunteerwisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Protests on the streets across America against President Trump and his administration. One was near the White House. Monica Hartsell was there.
We've got to really stand up. The time is now. Democracy is really fragile. It can, I've seen it around the world, how quickly a democracy can crumble, and I really hope it won't happen here.
Senator Chris Van Hollen, now back in the U.S. after a meeting face-to-face with Kilmar Abrego-Garcia, a migrant who was mistakenly deported to an infamous prison in El Salvador. The senator says Abrego-Garcia was traumatized by his time at the prison and that the Salvadoran officials gave him no information about why he was sent there. The Supreme Court temporarily freezing the deportations of any Venezuelans held in northern Texas under the Alien Enemies Act. Despite Russian President Putin's declaration of an Easter ceasefire, Ukrainian President Zelensky says Russian assault operations continue on several frontline sectors. This is ABC News.